Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of God? Worship Him in spirit and in truth. I have something I want to show you. This little 2.5 inch by 2.5 inch square piece of glass is what's known as a lantern slide. Anyone familiar with those? People that know antiques know what a lantern slide is. They used to be able to do a slideshow, and they had a lantern that was powered by a kerosene lamp. Isn't that great? So this one is late 1800s, early 1900s, over 100 years old. Does anyone know what the image is on this lantern slide? Does anyone know? No?
It's the city of Paris.
Oh, Noah says it's the city of Paris.
I'm sorry to tell you, brother and sister, you are mistaken. That couldn't possibly be Paris. I have it on good authority that it's London.
Oh, good authority.
With all due respect, my friends, you're both wrong. I have studied and I have a college degree. I know for certain it's Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Excuse me, I really hate to disagree or argue, but I know in my heart that's Smithburg. It has to be.
Smithburg.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Guess I'm going to have to settle this. I've traveled the world over, seen all kinds of cities and what have you, and I'm going to tell you now, you listen to the voice of authority here. I know what I'm talking about. I went up there and looked at it, and I'm going to tell you for sure that it's a rare photograph, but it is the photograph of Jericho before the walls came down.
No. Okay. So what's the right answer? What's the truth of the matter? Paul, would you come up here and help me out? Because we need to know what it is. How many want to know what it is? Now, how are we going to know what it is? We'll have someone look at it. What do we have here?
The Holy City.
So it's New Jerusalem. Emily, you can go ahead and put the slide up. It's an artist's rendition of the Holy City coming down. So it wasn't Baltimore. It wasn't Smithburg. It wasn't Paris. It wasn't London. And isn't it interesting how we had so many different opinions? Now, I set these guys up to do this. A terrific acting. Thanks, everyone. But I did that to make a point in my illustration. We had differing opinions. And they had a general debate going on. And the voice of authority spoke. And the college graduates spoke. And someone said, I truly believe in my heart that this is what it is. How did we know what it really was? Paul came up, and what's the first thing he did so that he could identify the image on that slide? What did he do? He held it up to the light. He held it up to the light.
Hallelujah.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13 says, but all things are exposed, are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Listen to the Amplified. But when anything is exposed and reproved by the light, it is made visible and clear. And where everything is visible and clear, there is light. You see, because of the light, Paul was able to set us straight. And everything became visible and clear about what the truth was. And again, we had varying opinions. But were they true? The four opinions we had, the five opinions we had, they were all opinions. But were they true? But what if they truly believed, Nola, if Nola truly believed that it was Paris, does that make it true? No matter how much she believes it? No. Truth is truth. Right? Truth is fact. Truth is not relative.
Amen.
It is absolute.
Amen.
It is a fact, not a perceived fact, a fact. It doesn't matter what someone believes. What someone believes does not make something the truth. Amen? This slide is made of glass with a negative in between, two plates of glass. But it's made of glass. That, my friends, is a fact. If Liz believes with all her heart that this is made out of wood, guess what? It's still glass. What's the truth? What's the fact? It is what it is. It's glass. Doesn't matter what we believe. The facts are the facts, and nothing can change that. Now, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of teaching out there, even in colleges, that say, whatever you believe, that is the truth to you. Okay, and if Liz believes that this is wood, does that make it truth?
No,
that truth is truth. It is the fact, doesn't matter. Personal belief or unbelief has no bearing on what the truth is. It is what it is. Amen?
Amen.
Romans 3:3 says, for what if some did not believe? How many know we have unbelievers in our world today?
Amen.
Does that affect the truth? There are a lot of unbelievers. They don't believe the Bible. They don't believe in creation. They don't believe in God. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not, Paul says. God forbid. Certainly not. Truth is also not truth because it's something we want to believe. Listen now, people convince themselves of a number of things that they are okay. Why? Because they love their sin. And they want to ease their conscience. And they will gather as many people around them that agree with them as they can. And you don't dare disagree with them, or you'll be hateful and unloving and unkind and not a Christian. But just because we want to believe something does not make that the truth. And what happens is when people think, this is what I want, this is what I want to believe. I want to believe that it's okay if I do this or that or the other thing. So I'm going to convince myself so that I can ease my conscience. Does that make it the truth when people gather people around?
No.
And they have what if they have a lot of people? A lot of people. Does that make it truth? No. What if the consensus says it's true? Does that make it true?
No.
Why not? Because the fact makes something true, not popular opinion. And if we cannot rely on the consensus, if we cannot rely on popular opinion, how can we know what's true? Hold it up to the light.
Amen.
Amen? Hold it up to the light. We have a question? Hold it up to the light. You're not sure about something? Hold it up to the light. And then you will be able to see everything, the Bible tells us, will become visible and clear. The answer is in the Bible.
Yes.
Because that, of course, is truth. The light is, of course, Jesus Christ. The light is founded, and it is found in the Word of God. Anything that we want to know concerning how we are to live, what pleases God, what displeases God, what is sin, what is not sin, what is unrighteousness, what is righteousness. If we want to know the answers to those questions, what do? Amen. We hold it up to the light. It is written in God's Word. Everything you need to know about how you are to live, what pleases God. How many want to be a God pleaser?
Amen.
That requires us to hold things up to the light. How many know we have choices every day? And if we want to please God, we've got to take the choice and hold it up to the light and see what God says. Amen. Romans chapter 1 tells us that sinful man tells us what sinful man does with the truth. We're talking about the truth as revealed in the Scriptures. Truth is truth. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress, or in other words, who hold down the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it to them. God has given man the truth. It's in the Word of God. He has revealed it even in nature. I do not believe that someone that believes in evolution and all of that nonsense, I truly believe that deep down inside, they know better. But what they're doing is they're suppressing the truth. Why? Because they love their sin. If nothing created everything out of nothing, and it was a big bang, and we all evolved from tadpoles, and there is no God, then I could do anything I want, and I'll have no accountability, no judgment, and no consequences. God has given man the truth, though. It's in His Word. It's revealed so we can know what is what. John 3:19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light."
Amen.
"Because their deeds were evil." What does man do with the light? He rejects the light. He rejects it. "I don't accept that. I don't believe it. I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe there are consequences. I don't believe in hell." "Well, I believe in God, but I don't believe a loving God would send anyone to hell." Is that the truth? Let's hold it up to the light. The light does not bear that out. The light tells us there is a hell. There is eternal punishment for unrepentant sinners who do not get saved. The glorious gospel is that all of us are sinners. All of us are worthy of hell. All of us are on our way to hell. But our Savior came.
Hallelujah.
And died on that cross to pay the price for our sins so that we could go to heaven. That is the truth.
Amen.
But what is my motivation to say, no, He's a loving God. He just wants to talk to me at the end and ask me what my journey was like. He would never send me to hell. Why would I do that? Because I'm living in sin. And I want to ease my conscience. And I want to make myself feel like I'm okay. And people lull themselves to thinking anything is okay. Everything is not okay, my friends. Sin is sin. Truth is truth. And truth is the Bible.
Yes.
And God gave us the law. God made it clear by holding it up to the light. We can know what is right and what is wrong. But we have to look at it, hold it up to the light. A man rejects the light. He suppresses the truth. God exists. Is that truth? Is that truth?
Amen.
But sinful man, by suppressing the truth, convinces himself that God does not exist. Again, no truth, no sin, no judgment, no punishment. And he can live in his sin with an eased conscience, and he can do whatever he pleases without consequences. Is that truth? No. There are people that believe it's truth, isn't there? That is not truth. When we hold it up to the light of Romans 1, we find that God has made Himself known and man is without excuse.
Yep.
I had a guy on a construction site one time tell me, I was witnessing to him, and he was kind of a nasty fella. And I was witnessing, and I was telling him about heaven and hell and sin and punishment. He said, "Well, one of these days when I stand before God, I'm just going to tell Him that I was not presented enough evidence to believe." Romans chapter 1 here tells us that God has presented us with the evidence that He has revealed Himself. He has made Himself known so that man is without excuse. You're not going to stand before God and tell Him you didn't have enough evidence to be convinced. Even the things having to do with His eternal power and Godhead are clearly seen, it says in verse 20. Clearly seen. Not from a Bible college, not from church. Even in nature, the revealed that His power Amen. And His Godhead are clearly seen. Yes. Study. Look at the creation accounts. Look at the evidence. Look outside. Go outside at night and look at the sky. And how in the world can someone say that that just happened?
Amen.
It boggles my mind. Look at everything God created. But people follow a religion called evolution, led by Charles Darwin. And they teach it in schools as truth. Does that make it truth?
No.
No. It doesn't make it truth. And in fact, their hero himself denounced it. Charles Darwin says, if you look at just the human eye, paraphrasing, it makes all my theories ridiculous, absurd. Makes all my theories absurd to the highest degree. Did you know that? Did you know that? That's what Darwin, the father of evolution, said? Oh, they don't teach that part in school. Do they? They don't teach that part. But it's the suppression of the truth. God has made Himself known, clearly known. It's there. Amen? The heavens declare the glory of God. How can you look at everything and how the order of everything and how everything works? Have you ever blinked your eye in time to keep something from going in that you didn't even see? Yeah, that just happened. Huh? It's foolishness. It's fairy tales. But they believe it. So that makes it true, right?
No.
We held it up to the light. Right? I like one thing that I heard recently. It was like we were watching a show about creation. And the guy said, I love this. He said, no, I'm going to take the word of the one who was there. I love it. I love it. But suppressing or holding down the truth does not change the truth. If someone does not believe it, it doesn't affect the truth whatsoever. The truth is the truth is the truth. And the truth is revealed by the light and things are made clear. So what are the results of man's suppression of truth? Still in Romans 1 verses 21 and 22. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. Here's the results. But became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became as fools. And we've got a lot of guys in this country and in the world who speak against creation and speak against God, and they're the higher ups. They've got all the degrees. They're the elite. Fools!
Amen.
Fools! It tells us their foolish hearts were not professing to be wise. Oh, I'm so educated. Look at all my sashes and ribbons at the graduation ceremony. And I'm so smart and I know everything. And I believe that nothing created everything out of nothing. More faith than I've got. Amen? But they became futile in their thoughts. And that's how men react to things. And that's the things that they create and the things that they teach. Verse 25 tells us that they exchanged the truth for a lie. They didn't change the truth because the truth is not changeable.
Amen.
God is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Doesn't matter what some evolutionist or some professor or somebody on TV, it doesn't matter what they believe, you cannot change the truth. So what do? They had the truth, they exchanged the truth for a lie. Now while we're in the neighborhood of Romans chapter 1, let's look at the results of suppressing the truth. Let's look at verses 26 and 27, and it goes along with what Pastor was talking about this morning. For this reason, what reason? Suppressing the truth, exchanging the truth for a lie, becoming darkened in their hearts and futile in their minds, professing to be wise and becoming as fools. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, their error which was due. This is not popular. And to be honest with you, I don't think it's going to be very long until it's illegal for me to preach what I'm just preaching to you. And all I did was read a verse right out of the Bible. I'm not making this up. This is not my personal conviction. We held it up to the light, didn't we? What does the light say?
Amen.
The light says no. The light says wrong. But it's not popular. I think in Canada, isn't it, Pastor Lay, it's already illegal to preach against homosexuality. What is this passage talking about? Homosexuality. Could it be any more clear? Men with men. Going against nature. Okay? You know you're an enemy. We'll leave it at that. Of course, as Pastor mentioned on Friday, the Supreme Court, by a vote of 5-4, ruled that the Constitution guarantees the right of same-sex marriage. A survey says that most Americans approve of these marriages. The Supreme Court and most Americans say it's okay. Does that make it okay?
No.
Does that mean that homosexuality is right and it's not a sin? Justice Anthony Kennedy said, "No longer may this liberty be denied." He wrote for the majority of the historic decision. No union is more profound than marriage, for it embodies the highest ideals of love, fidelity, devotion, sacrifice, and family. In forming a marital union, two people become something greater than they once were. Marriage is a keystone of our social order, Justice Kennedy said, adding that the plaintiffs in the case were seeking equal dignity in the eyes of the law. Is that the truth? Because a Supreme Court justice said it. Is that the truth? He speaks of the highest ideals and equal dignity. Lofty words. But does that make it the truth? You're awful quiet. How do we know what the truth is? We have to hold it up to the light. When I hold this issue up in the light of God's Word, I don't see words like high ideals, fidelity. You can do a study of the homosexual community, and fidelity is not high on the list. But I don't see these words, and I don't see sacrifice on this concerning this subject. I don't see family. I don't see dignity. What I see are words like against nature, burning with lust, vile, and shameful. And again, all I did was read the verse to you right out of the Scripture. We held it up to the light. And what does the light say? It doesn't say sacrifice and ideals and dignity and wonderful. It says vile, shameful, sin. Now for that, I would be accused of hate speech, which is probably not far down the line. Hate speech for simply reading what God says. Is that God's Word? What I read, is that God's Word? Is that the truth? I would be accused of hate speech, which is what happens when instead of going with the flow, instead of going with popular opinion, instead of going with the Supreme Court or what people want to believe, and holding the issue up to the light. That's what happens. Speak the truth, and you will be accused of being not loving. I've been in this so many times. I mean, in a dignified way, in a loving way, in a kind way, but speaking the truth in love on this debate in Facebook, which I try not to do anymore because it goes nowhere, but it's not very long until some Christian says, you're not loving. You're not being the way Jesus was. It's not true. We're speaking the truth, and people need the truth. Amen? I don't hate homosexuals. I love them. I love everyone. I've ministered in the homeless community. It doesn't bother me a bit. Because sin is sin. And sometimes I deal with drunkards. And sometimes I deal with adulterers. Sometimes I deal with fornicators. It's no difference to me to deal with and minister to someone who is a homosexual. That is their sin. I don't hate them. I love them. I love everybody. I want to reach the lost for Christ. How about you?
Amen.
You're accused of being not loving. But I love them again enough to speak the truth in love. Very important. In love. Not like the so-called Christians. You see, my Bible says you know them by their fruit. And if you're walking outside on the street with signs that say God hates and a derogatory word that means homosexuals, you're not a Christian. Because you don't have the fruit of the Spirit. You're being, you know, these same people, Westboro Baptist Church, quote, church. And they picket soldiers' funerals. You're not Christian. So we're not talking about that. And unfortunately, that's what the world sees. And the world sees that and thinks that's the church. How many love everybody and want to reach the lost? But many, many times, you're not loving. You're being unloving because you won't pander. You won't go along and go with the crowd and go with what's popular. Let me ask you a question. What is the most unloving thing you could do? Is it not to allow someone to go to an eternity in hell unwarned? Is there anything more unloving than that? To allow someone to go to an eternity in hell, away from God, suffering the punishment without warning them. The Bible tells us that we are to warn the sinners. What is the truth? When we hold it up to the light, what is the truth? Hear me plain, hear me clear, that homosexuality is a sin. Homosexuality is a sin. So what happens when you hold it up to the light? You find the truth and things become clear and visible. But if you listen to what's going on in the world, when you sit in the council of the ungodly and you begin to listen to what they say, people get drawn into it. You know, Facebook, I haven't been on, brother, but you were telling me, Emily was telling me, I mean, there's Christian friends of ours all over Facebook who got the big rainbow flag on their thing. They're celebrating this. Someone needs to hold it up to the light. Someone needs to read Romans chapter 1. Someone needs to make a choice between what the world says or what's cool or what's popular and the Bible. How many are going to go with the Bible?
Amen.
Praise God. All right, let's make it a little more clear. Leviticus 18:22. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Clear enough? You don't need to be a college professor. You don't need a theology degree to understand that. The light reveals it clearly. Now you have to decide. And I may be making someone angry with me this morning. I understand that. And there are a lot of preachers that are afraid to preach this, not just because of what the world's going to do or say, but they're afraid to preach it to their own congregations because they're afraid they're going to offend someone. And I truly, from the bottom of my heart, tell you right now, I am sorry if I'm offending you, but all I'm doing is holding it up to the light. How many want to know what the Bible says? It's time for us to shake off the foolishness. It's time for us to shake off the world. It's time for us to stand for the Word of God. there are so many things that some pastors are afraid to preach in their congregations. Not just homosexuality. There's a lot of issues because they're afraid they're going to offend somebody. Did Jesus offend people?
Amen.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Oh, well, that's not for today. That was for the society back then. That's not what it says. Hold it up to the light and see if you find somewhere that tells me it's not for today. There are things in the Old Testament that are not for today. And how do we know? Because Jesus said so. We're not under the dietary laws, etc. He never repealed that one or many other. Amen? Stand for the truth. Hold it up to the light. But once the Supreme Court makes something legal, it's no longer immoral, right? Right? It's legal in the United States, so it can't be immoral, right? Now please hear me clear. Again, Christians, true Christians, do not hate homosexuals.
Amen.
Homosexuality is a sin. Listen, but it's not the only sin.
Amen.
Romans 1:18 again says that His wrath... Whew. Oh, well, God doesn't have any wrath. God's a loving God. He has no wrath. Wait a minute. Hold it up to light. What's it say? His wrath is on all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. Uh-oh. 28-32. Let's name a few of these. And don't raise your hand if it hits you. But it's gonna. I lost count for me. And even as they did not like to retain God in knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers. Backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Go get the kids out of children's church just for a minute. Disobedient to parents, undiscerning. Oh, what's discernment? Holding up to the light and not just accepting anything that comes down the pike. Untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving.
Amen.
Unmerciful. Now, what about these people who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, His wrath, that those who practice such things are deserving of death? Why? Because it's sin. What's the wages of sin? Death. Oh, wait a minute. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate the freedom that homosexuals have in this country. It's wonderful. Oh, man. You better watch out. Watch out, Christian. Watch out what you approve of. Because you want to be kind and you want to be nice and you want to be, you know, what people believe is loving. Not telling someone the truth is not loving. It's the worst thing you could do. It's the worst thing I could do. And there are a great number of things. Anyone guilty on anything on that list? Notice the end. Again, those who approve. Those who approve. Even if you don't do it, even if you're not a homosexual, if you approve of those who do, what's it say? The wrath of God is on you. You're deserving of death. Is that what the Word says?
Amen.
There are a great number of things that Christians debate on. What is right and what is wrong. What is sin and what is not. How can we know what's true? Hold it up to the light. I think we can agree to disagree on some things. I don't think God is going to not allow you into heaven based on your belief in pre, mid, or post-tribulation, even though, you know, if you don't believe in pre-trib, you're just wrong. Some things are non-essentials. But what about sin? Sin is essential. The knowing the truth about sin, it's a very serious thing and has serious consequences because the wages of sin is death. That's death in hell. So we need to take sin seriously. Not be complacent. And not compromise, Christians. Amen? We need to take it serious. Ephesians 5, 3 through 5. About fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for the saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For you know that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. Sin has no part in the life of a Christian. You hear me?
Amen.
Sin has no part in the life of a Christian. Be it homosexuality or gossip. Be it adultery or gluttony.
Amen.
Be it unforgiveness or lying. Sin has no part. And this scripture tells us that if we have these things in our life, we have no part of the kingdom. Now or later. Do we sin? We sin. How many sin? But we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what the wrath of God is on our unrighteousness. So we need to not take sin lightly. We have sin in our life. We need to repent and ask forgiveness, deliverance, and get out of that thing. Amen? We cannot take it lightly. It's not debatable. It is an essential. Please note, who is Paul writing to here? He's writing to believers. Ephesians starts out to the saints, which are at Ephesus. He's addressing Christians, not unbelievers. Verse 6, let no one deceive you. Listen, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. People were back then, and they are today, teaching all sorts of things as true. They are deceivers. Here's one. Once saved, always saved. Doesn't matter what you do. You can live any way you want to. You cannot lose your salvation. In Sunday school this morning, we talked about a verse that says, if you abide in me, I abide in you. Hold it up to the light. So, you know, no matter what you say or what you do, you will always be acceptable to God and you can never lose your salvation. Is it true? Well, let's hold it up to the light. The light says otherwise. Because someone teaches it, entire denominations teach it, does that make it the truth? Let no one deceive you. Hold it up to the light. I know people who have friends and relatives that are living a lifestyle of drunkenness, drug use, and fornication, and yet they believe that they're saved. Come on! Because it's what they want to believe. Does that make it truth? Does that make them saved? No, instead of listening to deceivers and heeding what they say and giving false hope to people, convincing ourselves that they're okay, we should accept the fact that they're lost, amen? And pray for them and witness to them and warn them. Instead of patting them on the wrist saying, you're okay, Jesus loves you, He knows what you're doing, it's okay. All the way to the gate of hell. Hear me this morning, amen? Another false teaching that gives great hope and comfort to unbelievers is, God is not mad at you. You know, God loves me no matter what. Well, He does. And, you know, He understands me. He knows how I am. He knows what I do, but He still accepts me. Is that the truth? God's not mad at you? Is that the truth? Let's hold it up to the light. Remember, we just read Romans 1:18. What does it say? The wrath of God is against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Not just the biggies. Oh, is lying? Is lying unrighteousness?
Amen.
Is gluttony unrighteousness? Is gossip unrighteousness? Is stealing? Is anger? Is unforgiveness? All unrighteousness. The wrath of God is upon all, is against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Let no one deceive you. Should we just accept what someone says in a book or on TV because they're nationally known? Should we just accept what they say? Or what should we do? Hold it up to the line. Amen. Those are just two examples of deceivers with empty words. Did you know that Adam can fly? I could name the teacher and everyone here would know his name. I saw him on TV teaching people that Adam could fly. Because he reasoned that if he had dominion over the birds, he could not have dominion over the birds unless he could fly. Do you believe that? Is that the truth? Because this guy taught it? And the hosts of this Christian television program sat there and went, "Wow, that's amazing. I never knew that." What should they have done? Held it up to the light. I will give $100 to anyone here that can show me a scripture that tells me clearly that Adam could fly. Come on. But people buy it. People go along with it. They believe anything that people teach. Especially if somebody's got 45 books. And this is the latest thing. Why? Because people are looking for something new. Oh man, I got a new revelation. I don't want a new revelation. My revelation is in the Word of God. It's complete. It's whole. It's infallible. I don't want to know your new revelation. Foolishness. Acts 17:11, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. That's the Bereans. Bereans held things up to the light to see if they were so. In Paul's days, deceivers even taught that we should sin. Because if we sin, it allows grace to work. It allows grace to abound. So we should sin. What does Paul say? What then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. King James says, God forbid. How shall we, listen, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Is there sin in your life? Hold it up to the light. If you have any question, if something that you are doing is right or wrong, forget what a bunch of people told you. Forget what all the so-called Christians you know are doing. Forget about that. It has no basis in the truth. Hold it up to the light. Because sin is to have no place in a Christian. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So what happens when we run into a situation and we do hold it up to the light? We learn the truth. We must do three things. Number one, live it. Verses 8 and 9, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is goodness and righteousness and truth. You are no longer in the darkness of sin. Amen?
Amen.
You're no longer in the old life. You have seen the light. Now walk accordingly. Secondly, prove it. Ephesians 5:10. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Hold it up to the light. You're not sure? Hold it up to the light. Study it. Learn it. Don't just go by what someone tells you. It's important. When we find out the truth, we have a responsibility to share the truth. Amen? We have a responsibility to lead and show others. But we're afraid to do that. We are. We're afraid to do that. We don't want an argument. We don't want anyone to be upset with us. We don't want to rock the boat. That's all nice. But remember, we're talking about eternity here. And eternity is a long time for someone to spend in hell. Because we just wanted to nod our heads and ignore their sin. Because we didn't want to make waves. Am I speaking to anyone here this morning? We must hold it up to the light. We must find the truth. And when we find the truth, we've got to tell people. We can be kind. We can be loving. We can be non-confrontational. And we should. In the way that we present the truth. But we can also do all those things by not telling the truth right up to the gates of the hell. Right up to the gates of hell. Should I warn the sinner or not? Let's hold it up to the light. Galatians 6:1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. James 5:19. Brethren, if anyone among you... Wait a minute. Among you. Brethren. Among you, brethren. So that's talking about a brother. Right? So that's talking about someone who is in the Lord. Let's hold that up to the light. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death.
Amen.
Once saved, always saved? I don't think so. That's not what it says. Amen, somebody. Come on. Number three, reprove the deceivers. You get in trouble for this too. Verse 11, 12. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Expose the works of darkness. Expose the false teachings. Expose the lies of complacent religion. We expose them with what? The light. Holding it up to the light, we are to expose them. Paul named names. And I didn't name names. I've gotten in trouble for naming names. You know, the guy that said Adam could fly, better not name his... but he shouldn't name his name. But expose the works of darkness. Expose false teachings. Why? People need to know.
Yeah.
Can false teachings get people in trouble?
Amen.
Yes, we need to let them know. Have no fellowship with them. Stop supporting their ministries. Another, this gives me chills down my spine, another nationally known speaker, I'm not going to name him, on a talk show said, whenever I read where God says I am, I say I am too. That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. To put yourself equal with God. Jesus said, I am. Blasphemy. And people are afraid to tell anybody about it. We have to expose these things. We have to stop supporting their ministries. Do we do this so we can feel superior, so we can think we're better than they are? No, we must do it with humbly and with love. The purpose is to bring them to Christ. But you cannot reach the sinner without exposing the sin. Amen? A man has to know that he has a disease before he can appreciate the cure. Right? Verse 13, I'm closing. But all, back to the verse we started with, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. The light makes everything visible. Because of the light, Paul was able to find out the truth about the lantern slide. Amen? What, remember? He held it up to the light so that he could see clearly what the truth was. Have you ever been driving your car and everything, you know, everything was great and then the sun was shining right in your windshield? What did you notice? What did you notice about your windshield when that sun's shining right in there? How filthy it is. You know, when the sun's not shining on there, you can't really tell. But man, when it, man, that sun beats in on the windshield, it's like, man, look how dirty this windshield is. And that's what the light does. The light makes everything visible. It exposes the darkness. It exposes the filth. But it can also be healing. Do you remember when the darkness of sin was made known to you? When someone took you and showed you what the Bible says about sin? And how the wages of sin is death, and how there's an eternity in hell to pay, but there's glorious good news of the gospel, that God Himself became flesh and bled and died on a cross for you, so that you could be saved and have all those sins washed away. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's gossip. I don't care if it's murder. I don't care if it's theft. I don't care if it's homosexuality. Jesus died for all of our sins.
Amen.
And the truth of the matter is that if we will repent, we can be saved. Thank you, Lord. Do you remember that day? Do you remember when you saw the light? We love that song, don't we? I saw the light. Do you remember? How many remember the day you saw the light? Yeah, it's the same message. Somebody held it up to the light and said, look, you're an adulterer. That's a sin. You're a thief. That's a sin. You don't respect God. That's a sin. Someone held it up. It stings, doesn't it? It hurts. But what a glorious thing. When I saw the light. When I found out the truth and I was able to be forgiving, it's a life-changing, amen, and a precious experience. Last verse, Ephesians 5:14. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. How many know it's time for us to wake up? How many know it's time for us to rise from the dead? The church is slumbering. The church is complacent. The church is full of compromise.
Amen.
We are fearful. We remain silent while people are going to hell. It's time to wake up. Amen? It's time to take every situation, every decision, every issue, and do what? Hold it up to the light. It's time to examine ourselves, holding all of our choices to the light to find out the truth. And it's time to speak the truth in love and to warn those who are in danger. We need to look at everything we do. And how many know there's probably some things, if you held it up to the light, you need to get rid of? Come on. I want everybody here who says, I am going to stand for the truth. Stand up. Don't do it if you don't mean it. I want everyone here who says, from now on, I am going to hold everything up to the light so I can know the truth and I can be pleasing to God. What are you going to do? Come on, say it again. What are you going
to
do? Amen.
Hold it up to the light.
Amen. Praise God.